Let's pray before we approach God's word together. Thank you, Father God, that you are the supremely kind God who does not tolerate injustice. Open our hearts and minds to you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, work powerfully so that we would know you, the one true God, and know the joy of your forgiveness and be shaped to rightly discern how to approach this world which is so damaged, fractured, and hurting. Amen. Isn't it good to live under such conditions of freedom and tolerance today? Progress has freed us from the shackles of traditional morality, and so religion is in decline all over the secularized developed West. We tolerate everything today. You can have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, and no one is going to impose those terrible, restrictive, traditional religious standards on you. And because we live in such a free, happy, secularized, tolerant society, everyone is fulfilled and happy and feels safe. Don't we? Okay, never mind the real world. I mean, the real world is so last millennium, isn't it? The cyber world, the internet and social media, that's where all the cool kids are at. And the internet and social media, it is a place of ultimate freedom. You can be whoever you want. You can present yourself, identify however you want, and communicate with whoever you want. And so, of course, being such a free and liberated place, social media is a place of joy and safety and tolerance where everybody is happy and healthy, isn't it? Okay, yeah, I know. Major sarcasm alert. For all I know, the tech peeps have been putting like sarcasm memes at the bottom of everything I've been saying. Folks, over the last few decades, this millennium, there has been a discernible decline. People have documented how there's been a decline in tolerance and freedom and genuine like public freedoms across the globe, and a commensurate decline in global well-being. There's an agency called Freedom House in the USA. You can look them up, Freedom House USA. They analyze global democracy, political freedom. And their report, their latest report published in 2021, I think it was April this year, they said that during the course of 2020, a total of 18 countries suffered declines in their democracy scores. Only 6 countries' scores improved, while 5 countries experienced no net change. This marked the 17th consecutive year of overall decline in political freedom of the countries that they normally analyze, leaving the number of countries that are designated as democracies at its lowest point in the many years, I think it's 20 years or something, this millennium, that they've been performing this analysis. Now, that's only limited to political, democratic freedom. But you understand my point. We need to find a tolerance. We need a tolerant world because the world is becoming more and more intolerant. The Chinese Communist Party is an excellent example of this kind of intolerance. It's been well documented. Folks, just look it up online. It's well documented how they're oppressing Christians by tearing down church buildings and forcing churches to sing communist songs instead of Christian hymns. If we were in China right now, we couldn't sing those first couple of songs. We'd have to sing communist hymns instead. They're replacing crosses and other religious artwork with pictures of the Chinese President Xi Jinping. And they're forcing people to recite communist slogans instead of creeds. If we were in China right now, we would not be able to recite the New City Catechism. We would have to recite some communist doctrine. And it's not just Christians they're oppressing. It's well documented how they're oppressing Uyghur Muslims and Tibetan Buddhists. Basically, the Chinese Communist Party refuses to let people worship God. They're forcing their people to worship communism instead. But it's not just China. I mean, there's also that rubbish. Thank God it's over now, okay? That stupid idea, Trump's stupid idea back in the USA of building that wall with Mexico. Okay, now that's in the past, but my point is that that's not tolerant. what we are, that is a sign of, like, that is a sign of nationalistic arrogance. The USA used to be known by the Statue of Liberty. You all know that wonderful iconographic icon of New York Harbor. It sits there in New York Harbor with its torch held high. It was built to welcome migrants. The poor, what does it say? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The USA used to be known as a place that welcomed migrants who are seeking to live a better life and contribute to their society. And it went from that to go away, this stupid wall. That's not tolerance. That is intolerance. That's totalitarianism, tyranny. And it's not just the USA. Talk to our Pastor Dinesh. Those of you who are regulars here at Grace Point, you know that we've got Pastor Dinesh Taunk. We've got the joy of having him from an Indian background serving with us this year and for a couple more years, God willing. Talk to Pastor Dinesh about the BJP, the Hindu Nationalist Party in India, and how their influence has led to anti-conversion laws in some of the states of India, so that people, like, it's very difficult for people who genuinely want to become Christians to officially become Christians. The minister who baptizes them can get persecuted. That's not tolerance. That's tyranny. That's nationalism. And of course, on the one hand, you have cowardly conformity with tyranny. On the other hand, we can also have conflict between tribes. I won't spend time on this. But folks, you know about the tragedy of Nagorno-Karabakh in Azerbaijan, where there's so much conflict and innocent people are caught in the crossfire and are just dying. Or there's tribal conflict in Nigeria, tribal conflict in the Congo. You don't have to be religious to believe that this kind of tribalism, on the one hand, you have cowardly conformity with tyranny, or you have conflict between tribes. That's not tolerance, that's tragedy. Pastor Eugene has said how we're now, this is the last of our series in the seven lies of contemporary Western culture. Today we're looking at tolerance. And folks, it's not a lie that we need tolerance in today's fractured, bleeding, hurting, dying world. Absolutely. The problem is that today, what we take for granted as tolerance in the West is not good. It's not a good definition. It's not a good understanding of tolerance. And it contributes to the problem rather than solving the problem. Today's tolerance is twisted. We tolerate and permit what is wrong, and we're intolerant of what is right. Because today, Western tolerance has become very narrow and specific. It now means the unqualified celebration. Not even tolerance in the sense of permission in the old definition, but the unqualified affirmation and celebration of every kind of gender and sexual diversity without even pausing to ask, without tolerating anyone who says, hang on, is this actually good? Is what you want? No one's denying that your feelings, we're not denying what you want. The question is, just because you feel it, does that make it right? Just because you want to do it, does that make it right? Nowadays, we're not allowed to tolerate even that asking of the question. It's assumed that that is intolerant, that that is bigoted. For example, earlier this year, the Victorian government, as in the state of Victoria, not the government in UK in the 1800s under Queen Victoria. The Victorian state government passed their Change or Suppression Act. Again, you can look it up online. Amongst other things, that act criminalizes any activities which suggest that a person's sexual orientation or gender identity is in any way broken. And in the purposes section of the act, it talks about denouncing those who make that suggestion. Well, I'm sorry, that means that in the great state of Victoria, in Australia, they have criminalized the Bible. Because the fact is, okay, you could just open the beginning of this book and find out. At the beginning of the very first book of the Bible, where it talks about the way God created the universe, Genesis 1 and 2 record God as creating humanity, male and female. So now the state of Victoria has legally bound themselves to denouncing those pages of the Bible. And I'm sorry, they've criminalized Jesus. Because in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark 10, Jesus repeats that created order. And now that means Christians in Victoria are under the same restrictions as the Christians in India, where the BJP has succeeded in passing, get this, anti-conversion laws. At least in India, they're explicitly religious. In Victoria, it's got to do with sexuality. In fact, in Victoria, it might be worse. Because in India, someone who genuinely wants to convert and become Christian, they need to sign this great big long document that they're doing so of their own will and have not been coerced into it through bribery of money or anything. But in Victoria, that kind of consent is irrelevant. Because what's being criminalized is the speaking, the uttering, the utterance of a statement that, oh, you might be wrong. Your feelings might be wrong. Your preferences might be wrong. So Victoria is worse, less tolerant than India. Now, in this, the state of Victoria is on the wrong side of history. And on the wrong side of the world, because it's not just Christianity, it's not just the Bible that talks about the conservative view, the traditional view of sexuality, marriage, and knowing yourself according to your embodied biology. Every civilized society in the history of humanity has recognized a sexual order and the goodness of structuring yourself, your family, and society according to that sexual order. And so contemporary so-called Western so-called tolerance is on the wrong side of history. And frankly, it's a little bit elitist and has a bit of a racist smell about it, because it says to the rest of the world, the vast majority of the world is religious. We talked about that last week when Pastor Huge talked about religion. Most of the world is religious. Religion is growing. Pastor Elliot a couple of weeks ago talked about that. And most of the world holds to a traditional definition of family. And so this Western view that tolerance means not just permitting but celebrating everyone's diverse sexual and gender experiences is frankly a little bit racist. Because it's saying to the rest of the world, well, if you had lots of money like us, and if you were greedy, selfish, and independent and totally uninterested in anyone else like us, then you'd want to permit people to have as much sexual like liberty as we do. What you're really saying is you want people to be more and more like the protesters yesterday, where they don't really care about anyone else. They want the laws changed so that they can just do what they like without restrictions. Really? And you call that tolerance? See, this kind of so-called tolerance, this unqualified affirmation, actually ends up neglecting the vulnerable. See, the question is not, I've already said it, it's not how you feel. That nobody's disputing that certain people do not feel like, do not have certain internal convictions about their gender and sexuality. I'm not quibbling with the fact that people's preference, their will, is to act in certain ways. That's not the point. The point is, even pausing to ask, just because you feel like it, does that make it right? Just because you want to, does that make it right? It neglects people like Keira Bell. Look her up again online. You can even find her personal autobiography. She's written it up online. Keira Bell, K-I-E-R-A. She's a British woman who, from a young age, was sexually attracted to other women. Okay, she's lesbian. And as far as I know, she's not Christian. When she was a teenager, her behavior, she acted like a tomboy. So she acted in ways that are stereotypically male. And so she thought she was transgender. She thought that she actually was a boy, even though she has a women's biology and female chromosomes. Now, the thing is, the British medical system, particularly an institution called the Tavistock Clinic, they rushed her through gender transitioning to supposedly become a trans man. Okay? It's only as she matured. Here's the tragedy. It's only as she matured in her early 20s that she suffered what's called gender change regret, where she realized that now, having gone through all the surgery, she was living a lie. And she had to undergo even more surgery to reverse as much as possible of what had been done to her and become, like, as much as possible, visibly a woman again. And she sued the British health system, the Tavistock Clinic and associated entities, for not even trying to stop her, for not even asking, pausing to check, are you sure about this? It's a serious thing you're doing to your body and to the chemistry of your body. You could be wrong, you know. You could regret this. Are you sure? Because that is what true tolerance is. True tolerance is not reverse intolerance. Maybe some of us who are watching, you might have that uncertainty about yourself, your sexuality, your gender, etc. Or you might just be really sick of the way that your family or your church, your religion imposes really strict standards on you. Because that's the problem. The reverse intolerance of, if you are a good boy, then you have this very strict way of behaving if you're a good boy. And if you diverge from that because you like art or something, then you get punished because you're not a good boy. Or you're a woman and there's very strict standards on what you dress. And so you just want to dress in something that's fashionable and you get punished for being a bad girl. And that's not how Christian girls dress and behave. Very strict. Folks, that's not the answer either. That's just reverse intolerance. What we need to do is to seek truth. True tolerance pursues truth, and we discover the peace and harmony, the order that leads to true peace and true harmony, because the realities of the world, that's what's key. And this is not strictly about tolerance. This is about pursuing truth and reality. The realities of the universe give us a strong foundation for us to build our life with confidence. And it also gives us the order, the pattern, the framework that we can build our life in a way that we are confident. I am living by reality here. And folks, those of us who are watching, even if you don't believe in God at all, we can investigate the patterns that God has wonderfully woven into his creation. We can investigate science. This is why Christians have always been positive towards science and research. I'm fully vaccinated. 2 doses of Pfizer for the win. You heard Pastor Eugene pray and give thanks to God for vaccines. Okay? We are not. Christians are not against science. We're very much in favor of it, precisely because we are people of truth and reality. And we are confident that because our good God has woven elements of true truth into the very fabric of this world, that we can do what we call science, research. He has woven truth into the biology of our body. We can discover things about ourself through, that is real and true, through medical science and research. And praise God for skilled scientists who can investigate how COVID-19 hijacks our body and then combat it. This is the opposite to the aggressive transgender ideology of today, which again hurts vulnerable people by ignoring biological reality. Folks, you know that trans men who are biologically men and therefore have the musculature and the skeletons which have benefited from the male hormone testosterone, you know that there are people like that who are identifying as women, trans women, and competing in female sports and just winning. Because the fact is, biologically, our male musculature and skeletal structure is just stronger because of testosterone. And those trans men are accessing female spaces, safe spaces. Ladies, 100 years of feminism. You labored hard, okay? The suffragettes of 100 years ago or more. You fought hard for women to be respected and have public dignity as women. You fought hard that your bodies are not the property of some strange man. But now, ladies, if you don't let a biological man who simply says, oh, I'm a woman, who simply identifies as a woman, if you don't let him into your female spaces, like a change room, okay, and you don't let him be present when you're taking off your clothes to change into sporting gear, then you are the bigot. Tolerance? Freedom? Really? Back in the old days, it was the atheists who laughed at the Christians saying, ha ha, you don't believe science. Ha ha, you're out of touch with reality. And now, it's the atheist transgender ideologists who are celebrating unreality. What has happened to our world? This is tragic, friends. Tolerance cannot be merely you just do what you want, and especially a celebration of diverse gender and sexual fluidity. It doesn't work. It hurts vulnerable people. Again, the solution is not equal and opposite reverse intolerance and a really strict like ignoring of people's emotions. Just hold it in, suck it up. No, you can't do that. You can't even ask the question and tell people about how much you are hurting. That's not the answer either. We need to return to a search for truth and reality, but a search characterized by kindness, patience, and goodwill. A search characterized by empathy and compassion for people who may not fit the neat, strict, tidy categories of gender or anything else of behavior that we are used to. The great Russian author and Christian, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, appealed to us, live not by lies. We must seek truth. And that is why we need the one true God. The one true God who doesn't tolerate wrong, but he is not intolerant, angry, and aggressive either. We need the one true God who has made himself known in Jesus, the Jesus who died and rose for us to fix what is wrong. Let me read again from, let me make some reference back to Exodus 34. If you've got a Bible handy, please again, open up Exodus 34. It's in your bulletins online, gracepoint.com/go-bulletin. Exodus 34 verse 6, the God of the Bible is supremely tolerant. Exodus 34 6, though he is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He maintains love to thousands, and he forgives wickedness and rebellion and sin. How much more tolerant can you get? He is not an angry God in the sense of quick to anger. He is slow to anger. He is patient. That's the biblical terminology. Patient in the sense not that he lets you get away with it, but he is like a good father when a child is chucking a temper tantrum. He speaks with calmness to that child, trying to calm the child down and work through why the child is angry and upset. Not a quick-tempered father who says, bad boy, slap. That is not our God, but at the same time, the same God is supremely intolerant because verse 7 says he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Hang on. How can God be both? How can he be intolerant and intolerant? How can he punish and not punish? Only in Jesus Christ, where he forgives by punishing. Let me read again Romans 3, 25 to 26, our second passage. Romans 3, 25 and 26. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Folks, we all live by lies. Yes, I've been discussing gender and sexuality today, but you know that none of us live properly by God's standards. Even if you do not believe in God, you know that we live by lies. We say things we don't mean. We let people down. And our conscience, even if you're not a Christian, your conscience pricks you that you have not lived up to your own standards, which is why we who are Christians, we take the time, just this today we did it, where we said a confession right at the beginning of our church service. It's not just therapeutic and cathartic, but it is that as well, where we admit to God, we admit to each other, and we admit to ourselves that we live by lies. We can't handle the truth. We are all deeply wrong, fractured by what the Bible calls sin. We feel certain ways and we do it even though we know it is destructive to us and those we care about. It is foolish. It is wrong. We deserve to be cancelled by Almighty God. But Jesus Christ takes the consequences of that wrongness on our behalf. He gets cancelled instead of us. That is what it means that God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. And all we need to do is entrust ourselves to Jesus. That's what it means to be received by faith in the middle of verse 25. It is to admit that we are deeply wrong people before God, even if it's not to do. For the vast majority of us, it's nothing to do with gender and sexuality. It is to admit that we are wrong before God and that we need Jesus to forgive us, to bring us back to God. In this, in Jesus Christ, God is simultaneously tolerant and intolerant. He is intolerant of sin. As he said in Exodus, he does not let the guilty go unpunished because he deals with sin. He punishes it once and for all, but he does it in Jesus instead of us. And so, does God tolerate sin? No, not properly according to the word tolerance. He forgives. He reconciles. He does not overlook it, which is actually quite a relief. And therefore, like he says in Exodus, his own character is he is compassionate and gracious. He forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And that's what tolerance should be, isn't it, friends? Tolerance is not indifference. I've been focusing on the very narrow definition of tolerance that we accept in Western society today. A different, slightly different, parallel definition of tolerance is indifference. You do you. Now, I don't think that actually works, because just try saying to people, okay, I'm going to do my Christianity, and my Christianity is I don't accept that same-sex marriage is real. Just try that and see whether people tolerate you. So I don't think you do you tolerance is actually like common in Western society today. Okay? But tolerance is not in that kind of indifference. Tolerance is kindness, that's key. Tolerance is knowing what is right, being confident about truth, but applying that truth with great gentleness, compassion towards those who are hurting because they're living by lies. That is what our God does. And that is what he calls us to do as well. Folks, first question is, have you taken hold of this forgiveness, this reconciliation, the kindness of God in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection? If not, you need to do so straight away. In August, I'm running a series called Meet Jesus, where we invite you to meet Jesus online here at Grace Point. We'll discuss all what it means for us to follow Jesus Christ and to know the life that is in him. If you want to find out more about that, there's a particular website, gracepoint.org.au/Jesus. It's a really simple, it's a slightly different website. You don't need all that go here, go there business. gracepoint.org.au/Jesus. I would love to meet Jesus with you, to meet you and to help you to meet Jesus online and to discuss more what it means that Jesus does not tolerate wrong, but is very kind and forgiving. Isn't that the kind of God, the kind of person we need to lead us into all truth, into reality, And we need that kind of God to help us be truly tolerant people. Again, people characterized by a love and a search for truth, but where we know how to be kind and gentle with people who disagree with us. Because we, the book of Ephesians, there's a famous verse in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, speaking the truth in love. Now, usually we think, well, we need to be people of truth and also people of love. That's actually not what the verse means. In context, what the verse means is that precisely because we love people, we seek to tell them the truth about God and about Jesus. And so as Christians, I put the whole world on notice. This is one of the good things about a broadcast. I can say that kind of literally. I put the whole world on notice that we as Christians, we love you enough to tell you the truth that Jesus is God, that he died and rose for you, and that living for him is actually the best way, including his pattern for reality. That is a statement of love. You may disagree that it is loving. That's okay. We will continue to care for you, and we are many of us, all of us in some way or the other, used to dislike Jesus. There is no person who, like literally speaking, grows up Christian. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, you must be born again, meaning that we need to take hold of Jesus by faith. But, and so, we will empathize with you that you do not think it is loving to say there is only one way to God. You don't feel that it's loving to say that you have to live by Jesus' way. Okay, yeah, we totally get that. But we love you enough to tell you that according to this book, which we believe is ultimately authored by God himself, that is the ultimate truth of the universe. And if you are living out of step with God, Jesus, and the Bible, that you are out of step with reality. You are living by lies. But also, Ephesians 4 verses 2 and 3 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit by the bond of peace. Precisely because we love you, we seek to speak this truth in kindness and gentleness. It's 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 and 6. It's classic. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. That was 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 6. True love is characterized by truth, but puts that truth not in a harshness, but in a wonderful, kind way. That is, doesn't boast or shame. It's not about me, it's about you. Folks, we need tolerance in this fractured world, absolutely. The problem is that today's Western view, definition of tolerance, it adds to the problem. I do not doubt the goodwill of those who mean this, who want to permit people to live their gender and sexual variety. Their goodwill is not the problem, but it's not in touch with reality. It adds to the problem and oppresses vulnerable people. We need to return to truth and the ultimate truth of God in Jesus Christ, who calls us to find the bedrock, the grounding of reality in none less than him. And in his ways of life in this broken world. The challenge for those of us who already follow Jesus is to courageously speak truth, but do so in a kind and gentle way. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus' way of life, not ashamed of the scriptures as God's holy word, but precisely because we care about this hurting, broken world, doing so with a yearning, with a gentleness, with a reserve, not letting our anger get the better of us. There is the challenge for those of us who already follow Jesus, and the invitation and challenge for those of you who do not yet, as we close this sermon on the seven lies of culture. The invitation to the rest of you is, come meet Jesus. If you want to put your trust in him straight away, today I will pray a segment of my prayer to that end. That's fantastic. But don't stop there. Connect with us. You can, if you are not already connected with our church, I invite you to connect with us online. The website is gracepoint.com/go/connect. If you want to have a chat with me, we'll be online at 5:30 this afternoon. And the website is GracePoint. You can get the Zoom link at GracePoint Go Q&A. I can't remember right now. I didn't write down whether it's Q&A or Q&A. It'll come up on the screen. I look forward to interacting with you. Please join us. Ask your questions. Any question is fine. We're not ashamed. We're not embarrassed. We will not slam you. I promise we will not slam you as some terrible, bigot, dangerous person. We will answer every question as gently and as we can. But precisely because we want you to find life, stability, and truth in Jesus Christ, the one who does not tolerate sin. Even better, he forgives it and restores us to himself. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, that we can come to you and call you Father precisely because of Jesus Christ, who you gave to us to die and rise for those of us who are deeply wrong. Again, we admit we seek foolish things. We don't live according to you. We don't like you. We don't naturally want to live your ways. And therefore, we live in foolish ways that hurt ourselves, damage our relationships with other people, and we don't care because we're selfish. We admit all of that again. And we thank you that you do not tolerate that. It's actually a good thing that you do not tolerate wrong. You are not indifferent. That insipid, weak, thin view of tolerance as you do you. You don't buy that. And I, for one, am very glad, because that means you know what is right. We can trust you. But we also thank you so much that you are not a God who is quick to anger. You do not enforce your rightness with harshness. You are a kind and gentle God who appeals to us to return to you. And so now we pray this in the name of anyone watching online who wants to, for the very first time, put their trust in you, the one true God. On their behalf, I say, dear God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I admit that I have rejected you. I admit that you don't have to tolerate me. I don't deserve your acceptance. I don't deserve your forgiveness. But thank you that you gave me Jesus. Thank you that Jesus died and rose for me. There's a song, my name is written on his hand. My name is graven on his heart. I believe that. I am convinced of that by the promise of your scriptures. And so now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one, the one true God, I ask that you forgive me for turning away from you, for rejecting you and living a lie before you, the one true God. And I ask that you change me now, little by little, that I would live for Jesus and make me a shining light to the truth and reality of Jesus and to the goodness of life in him. Make me that kind of witness to the people, the family, and friends that I care for. Amen.